Lagom presents Money on Your Mind, The Psychology Behind Your Financial Habits, written and read by Vicky Raynal. The audio version of the book is dedicated to my dear friend Caterina. Introduction. You might think that psychotherapists are comfortable talking about anything. Dark secrets, embarrassing memories, shameful thoughts, sexual fantasies. These are all part of the material that clients confess in therapy. As therapists, we spend years training to equip ourselves with the curiosity and resilience needed to accompany our clients in the exploration of difficult topics. But one area that was until recently hardly covered in psychotherapy training is the topic of money. For reasons I will come to, I made it a personal quest to understand and delve deep into my own relationship with money. Not because money is important, but because money is an object that carries all sorts of connotations, and exploring these helps us better understand who we are. Sandwiched between a psychology degree and a psychotherapy postgraduate, I obtained a master's degree in business administration, an MBA. I wasn't surprised that the MBA would include a seminar on behavioral finance, which applies psychological theories to explain why people sometimes make irrational choices when it comes to money. But I was surprised when in my psychotherapy studies, which teach you to explore the meaning in everything, the subject of money was generally avoided. I have been curious to explore questions such as, why is money never enough for some people, yet others seem content with little? Why are some people tormented with guilt when they spend on themselves, yet others almost waste away their fortunes? Why do some couples argue incessantly about money, yet others seem to agree on most financial matters? When is money used to control, to ask for love, to show off, to compensate, to rebel? It isn't purely a professional interest for me. It's a personal one, too. My father wrote his own book about the financial tragedy that ruined his wealth, hopes, dreams, and so much more than that. It is a story of deceit, betrayal, and loss that left him with a deep sense of injustice, anger, and regret. There is no doubt in my mind that my family's experience with money colored my views of what it stands for and its importance. It's not just the impact of my father's experience, it's everything that it was imbued with. Money as a measure of achievement, but also self-worth. Money as an instrument of generosity and help, but also of pride. Money as a means to move up a social ladder, but with the inadequacy and even shame that sometimes comes with it. Money as something that can vanish from one day to another, stripping you of opportunities, aspirations, and hopes. I won't speak about my personal story in this book. Psychotherapists don't disclose much about themselves. But I mention it here to explain my passion for this subject. Money is still a taboo. Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, who I will refer to a fair bit in this book, was the first to observe the taboo aspect of money. He wrote, "Money matters are treated by civilized people in the same way as sexual matters, with the same inconsistency, prudishness, and hypocrisy." More than a century later, his statement is still relevant. In a 2019 survey conducted in the UK, and echoed in surveys conducted in the US, people said they would rather talk about sex than money with friends and family. Half of British people say that talking about personal money matters is taboo in everyday conversations, higher than sex, religion, and politics. More than two-fifths of people have avoided discussions about money. Even in therapy, it's brought up with reluctance. As the Jungian analyst James Hillman said, patients more readily reveal what's concealed by their pants than what's hidden in their pants pocket. Which is why I think calling myself a financial psychotherapist has helped many of my clients feel like they enter a space.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?